'em pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lock. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Ooh, welcome to the Pick 'em Pod. What's up with the what's up? Little, you guys follow me on social media. You probably saw the Ankin floor. You know I got a little bit going on in the life, but I had to pop on. This is my escape. This is what I love to do. Wasn't going to take a week off. I like this card this weekend. It's been a little bit trepidatious in the old BP lifestyle, with the personal side, with the family and everything. It just happened all at once, right? And then I had a computer thing. This is secondary to obviously the real stuff, but before I hopped on, I had this little lacy hard drive, right? And all the tech guys out there know what I'm talking about. Put all my video on that, put all my logos on that, put all my sound bites on that, put everything on that fucking thing. Completely toast, trash. Won't work, won't start up, did everything right. And so that's where we're at with that. So now it's like, gotta get a new one of those. All my files, hopefully I can be backed up. Hopefully some fucking Mac genius or Geek Squad or whatever can fix that, because I don't know what the hell's going on. But yes, my sister passed away last Thursday the 13th. I've kind of done this in my head a few times of like how I would proceed and what I would tell. And obviously she lived a pretty tough life. I mean, growing up, I was gonna get into the weeds of how we grew up and how, like, you know, my parents had an ugly divorce and she picked my dad, I picked my mom, and you know, we didn't grow up close because of the bitterness of my parents. You know, we weren't super close or whatever. And then she obviously threw her 20s, she's 5 years older than me, she's my old sister. Through her 20s, she lived a pretty hard life and made some really bad decisions. But I wasn't gonna give you a whole sermon, because like every time I come on here, like, it's fucking, you know, the grandpa, my uncle, my mom with cancer, it's like a fucking sob story with this guy, right? Every fucking day. But it's like the past year has been nuts, right? Since June, father-in-law, my wife's real dad, you know, she has two fathers, but her real father passed away kind of suddenly. He was sick for only a brief time and it went fast and that hurt. Then my grandpa in August, then my mom's cancer diagnosis. Before that, my stepdad was in the hospital. COVID was shutting down his organs. Don't know if we really even talked about that. And then my uncle died, now my sister. So it's like, fuck, man, everything's adding up, right? And I need to take a minute. I have, you know, anxiety. I used to, at least. A couple years ago, I developed really bad anxiety. I've since fixed that. I've been doing a good job, but it crept its way back in with the sister and stuff. And trying to make sure my mom's okay. She's going through a lot. Make sure my grandmother's okay. And obviously then checking in on me, seeing if I'm okay, right? I can't bury this, you know, deep inside, which is what I do with my grandfather, because I'm like, oh, I got to be the man. I got to take care of this. Or with my uncle, which happened suddenly, which his kids took care of that. It kind of alleviate the burden. But then I'm worried about my mom, because now she lost her brother and she lost her father and she has cancer. It's like, fuck, man. But yeah, I needed really like to kind of just this weekend, I didn't tweet a lot. I watched the fights and I really needed to just kind of like figure out where I'm at mentally, right? Because I'm a big mental health advocate. I think it's important to kind of check in on yourself, make sure you're okay. And there are definitely this weekend and even leading to this week, some anxious days, some days with a little bit of worry and this and that, and in real life stuff that you would do, but I never let it win. That's the big thing. You never let it win. But this isn't about me. I want to, first and foremost, thank every single person. DM me, tweeted at me on, or you know, Instagram as well, reached out via text. Incredible. Thank you for the support. I really appreciate that. I was going to go through this whole long thing with my sister. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say about her, because we weren't close, but the past 8 years, she has been sober. So I want to make it clear that she did not pass away from any drug related, because I do believe I said in my original tweet, she's been clean and sober for 8 years. There was no relapse. This wasn't a drug issue. This was a pneumonia issue. She had complications with pneumonia. She had pneumonia really bad for a couple weeks. And then, you know, that's not good, right? So it wasn't a drug related issue, which I'm very proud of her about, because of where she came, where she started, and to where she ended up. She had a great family, fiance, four pets. She loved dogs. He seems like a great guy, and I'm so proud of her for going 8 years. I've never had an addiction problem. I know my dad did. That's what got him. My middle sister did. That's what got her. And my sister did, but she didn't let it get her. She beat it, which is impressive. And I'm incredibly proud of her. I wish, you know, obviously you have regrets. You wish you would have done more, you know, because we did talk via Facebook, and there are some things I wish, you know, we wish we could have seen each other. She obviously started her life down in Louisville, which is about 2 hours away from me. but yeah, there's obviously regrets of wishing I could do more and saw her this and talk to her more. And, you know, and even when you go back to like you going all the way back to your kid and, you know, the pettiness between your parents and you're like, oh, come on, guys, you know, like obviously the youngest who I was like, what, 7 or 6 when it happened. Like, of course, I'm not going to speak up, but there's a lot of things you wish you can do. But the main thing is I'm incredibly proud of what she did in the last 8 years of her life because of where she came from in her 20s was bad as it gets. And she had a piece of shit guy. You know, you can't blame everyone. And I'm definitely not blaming anybody for her mistakes. You know, everything's about life is about choices. But that guy that she's with most of her 20s is probably number one piece of shit in the world. If I had to imagine, absolute bottom of the barrel human being. He did a lot to her and then, you know, whatever. But incredibly proud of her. We'll miss her. Wish we could have been closer. But yeah, caught me by surprise because she's doing so well. And then obviously life's so unexpected. And then just again, with everything going on in my life and the family's life, it's like, fuck, man, like it's just a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And I went 36 years without dealing with a lot of death. You know, I've been lucky to, you know, I had my grandparents. I had all my, I mean, I lost my father, but we weren't close. But yeah, man, it's tough. It's a tough thing. So again, all the positive and messages were amazing. I couldn't skip this out. I did the Anik and Florian show. I tried to be as, that was the day after her funeral. So I try to be as upbeat as positive or upbeat as possible. I did not watch that one back. I don't know if I came off flat or what. Either way, I'm here. We got a show. I got a giant pimple right here that you probably been staring at. I got 3 eyes right now. And if I had the capabilities, I would just zoom in on that bitch. It hurts like a motherfucker. I don't pop my shit. My wife does. And she's itching to get this one. I said, nah, we can't do this one right now. This one hurts. All right, here we go. We got some fights now, babe. Huh? Let's talk about some fights. First up, Dana Bacquiao or Bacquiao Dana. However you say his name. Minus 140 versus Brady Hystand. Hystand plus 120. Ultimate Fighter fame. I like this fight for Brady here at plus 120. Excuse me, it's plus 120. I like the dog shot here. I'll tell you why. Dana Bacquiao is a powerful guy. Brady has been hurt in some of his fights. He's been clipped. He's been put down. He likes to go to war. He's young kid. The chin concerns me a little bit, right? The chin is definitely something I'm concerned about because Dana Bacquiao just fucking chucks him. He chucks him, right? And that's obviously a concern, but when you're hanging plus 120, I think Brady is actually a pretty good grappler. He's sneaky on the ground with the submissions. Bacquiao's going to be the bigger, stronger guy there, but he's going to slow down just a little bit. He's coming off 2 losses himself. Actually, I think he's coming off a win. He got knocked out right in front of my own fat face in Columbus. Yes, he's coming off 2 losses. Excuse me. Last time out was a nice little war, 109 to 100 strikes against Chun Yong Kang. Nailed that fucking name. So give me the dog. We're going to start 3 weeks in a row with a dog shot. We're 2-0. Jocelyn Edwards last week squeaked it out. Did she win? Huh? I didn't do a recap show, but did she win? Huh, Kansas City? Did she? Week before that, Sammy Hughes. So we're going 3-for-3 with the dog shot. I will be playing this just a little bit. Try to keep that hot hand. There's not a lot of things working for me at this point in the betting circles. So I'm going to keep the old hot hand. All right, next up, you got Priscilla Cachoeira. You know how I do with Brazilian names. Priscilla Cachoeira, plus 160 versus Karine Silva, minus 190. I was all in on Cachoeira, catch beating, shout out Paul Shag. I was all in on her on this. I'm like, plus 160 against Karine Silva, whatever. But I've had some time this week to really kind of get this set in, right? Kind of get this final, right? And Karine Silva's a dog. She's good. She's good on the feet. Look good in the contender series. She's good on the ground. Good cardio, aggressive. Cachoeira, her biggest, you know, she's getting better. She has big power. Great chin. Her toughness is probably the number one attribute you want. But Ground game, not really there. Wrestling game, not really there. She's just kind of like, I'm going to be there for three rounds. Are you going to be? And I think Karina Silva has shown to have some decent cardio, good grappling, good submissions, and good striking. She's aggressive. I like her big here. I like her at minus 190. I think this could be like maybe a late TKO. Probably not. I have it written down. I'm already disagreeing with yesterday, Brian, because I think Cachoeira is so good. Take that back. Take two. I think Cachoeira is so tough that it's going to be so hard to finish her. But Karina Silva, I like what I saw. And even though last week I don't know chicks, right, is proven. I picked against Jillian Robertson. I don't know chicks. I know chicks, okay? And I really like Karina Silva here. I think she's a good talent. And we'll see. This is a good benchmark for her. She's debuting. Is this her debut in the UFC? I know she was in the contenders, but does she have a fight in the UFC? Okay, so she beat debut in the contenders, guillotine choke. Yep. And then Patena Botella, she darts choked her in her debut, right? So two flawless victories for Karina Silva. But, you know, this is still a big up. Cachoeira, she's been around. She's been in there with some girls.
Dead air.
Podcast juice flowing through these veins. All right, next up, Francis Marshall. I know he will never go Frankie because there's already a famous Frankie from New Jersey. I love the name Frankie. A good friend of mine's son's Frankie. I love it. Francis, that's my wife's grandmother's name, Francis. So it reminds me of a girl. Anyway, minus 205 versus William Gumis plus 175, huh? How do you talk? So Francis Marshall was on the Anakin Florian, right? So that already gives him a bump. Besides Jared Mearsgaard, the guys who go on Anakin Florian, they tend to win. He's got a nice little number next to his name at minus 205. I like his aggression. I think his ground game is good. Gomez comes in as a French kickboxer, but he does have some submissions to his record. He likes to mix things up. His UFC debut against Jared Aarons wasn't overly impressed. It was a majority decision win. He looked okay, but he looked sloppy. He's a southpaw. He's tricky on the feet. He throws wild. He throws hard. He's long for the division. But I think Francis is going to have a right hand, and he's going to have a takedown. And I think his ground game is superior. I think the Kurt Bellegrino is superior. I think his go-get-em-niff is superior. Give me Francis Marshall here at minus 205. It's not a price you want to run and bet because Francis is very young. Second fight in the UFC against a guy who's got more fights in him, a guy who does have some decent wins on his record, or at least some good competition he's been in there with. So you don't worry about that. But Gomez has been submitted before. Francis is nasty on top with the pressure, with the punching. He is not a one-trick pony. He can do both. I would prefer to fight to get to the ground because, you know, Gomez is a long, long, lengthy guy with that French kickboxing style. Good left hand, good kicks. Get to the ground. Gomez has been submitted before. It's been a while. Been a little bit, huh? Been a little bit. But I think Francis can get it done here. I like Francis Marshall in this spot here. Anakin Florian parlay. It's not out yet. I don't think Cody has sent it to me, but either way, parlay. He showed me it. I'm not going to reveal it if it's not out, but he showed me it. It's a juicy one. But Francis Marshall, even if he's not on the parlay, he got the Anakin Florian boost. You know what I mean? Those boys boost these fighters. Give me Francis Marshall. Let's go. Next up, Muhammad Usman minus 105 versus Junior Tafa minus 115. Fight got a lot of movement going on right now. They're even. Tafa goes up. You know, it's been bouncing for. And I dove deep into this fight because all I've been hearing about is how good Junior Tafa is, right? Justin Tafa's in the UFC. The Tafa brothers, they all look exactly like. They all look like their dad. Just heavy hitters from there. Junior came from kickboxing first, 4-0 in MMA. And Muhammad Usman, obviously Usman's brother, won the Ultimate Fighter. I haven't seen him in a while. I think average is probably the best way to describe him. Not the best wrestler. Does have big power. Knocked out Zach Puanga, even though he was losing that fight. And then on the Ultimate Fighter, he just won decisions. Got a lot of heart. Got a lot of toughness. But Junior Tafa is the more interesting character here. I'm taking Tafa. And I got a couple things to say about this fight. So I'm taking Tafa. And I dove into his fights, right? And So I dove into his fights. And his MMA fights. Watched all his kickboxing. Wasn't overly impressed. He's more of a boxer, right? The kick game's kind of lackluster, but he's got big, big power in his hands. But then I saw him fight Toshiyoshi. I'm saying this guy's name wrong. Toshiyoshi Sadorio. I'm going to put it on the screen. And this is a heavyweight. I think he was a former sumo wrestler, former Yokozuna, right? Or at least not former, but at least training to be one. Transition MMA in Risen, 6-2, nice little record, good striker. Junior's got a knockout over him, which gave me the confidence to take Junior. So I can't find that fight, right? The fight's like behind a paywall for Risen, but I found other Tsuyoshi's fights, and I'm going to put it up on the screen. This guy might be an Asian me. I've tested this with some people who know me, some people, you know what I mean? We're about 60-40, yes. But we'll put a picture on the screen, and I'm gonna try to look like him. And I don't. This is gonna be post, so I just gotta remember what he looks like. Okay. All right. So I put that right next to me, the picture of him. Right. He's got his arms crossed. Lips look all pouty. That might be an Asian me. All right. Now, not only was that significant, but after I saw that guy fight, ooh, coming out the green fucking hammer. Green hammer time, baby. We lost last week. How the fuck does Bolonos not finish that fight, huh? We thought we had Aaron Phillips out of there. Gosh, dang it. Lost by knockout, lost by the under 2.5 this week. I know heavyweight overs is the play. Everyone loves heavyweight overs, flyweight unders. There ain't no chance in hell this is going over, in my opinion. I think if the line's set at 1.5, I don't have props in front of me. So this will be added post-production. Don't know what they are. Green hammer play. Fight won't go the distance. Yes, that's not going to happen. Whatever that number is. Again, remember. Oh, I just hit myself in the head. Fuck. Remember, this is a multi-unit prop play. We're not looking for the biggest plus numbers. We're not looking for the best numbers, right? We're looking for the ones that are going to win because we're putting multi-uni numbers on it. And I need it because I'm down 1.6 last week. Last week might have been my worst betting. Bet emotional live and lost my shirt for sure. We didn't do a recap, but your boy's hurting, right? So this is a multi-unit prop play. Fight goes to the decision, or does the fight go to the distance? No. And then if you want, which is I'm going to do, Junior Tafa by knockout, because I think Muhammad Usman's chin is weak. He got dropped in the Ultimate Fighter a few times. He was a little hesitant against Zach Puanga. His loss outside the UFC, Brandon Sales rocked him, choked him out on the ground. Junior Tafa has got power. He's got dynamite. He hits like this fucking hammer does. Green hammer play. We're 5-2 on the year, going to 6-2 this weekend. I had a lot of options this card. This one kept jumping out to me. Junior Tafa, Muhammad Usman. Fight does not go to the decision. Does not go to distance. Yes, does not. It finishes inside the distance. Does the fight go? Kristen's going to have a field day with this. Does the fight go to the decision, distance, whatever? No, it doesn't. It does not go to the decision and Tafa by knockout. I made that way harder than it needed to be. God damn it, Brian. Anyway, Junior Tafa by knockout. Junior Tafa inside the distance. God damn it. All right, next up, we got Carol Rosa versus Norma Dumont, -105 versus -115. You know how early I said I know chicks? Well, I don't know chicks because this fight broke my brain. This is the last one I filled out. I have no idea what to pick here. They're both kind of the same fighter. If Norma Dumont showed up at the weigh-ins and she ended up being Carol Rosa and stared down with herself, I wouldn't be surprised. They're very, very similar fighters. I went with Rosa because of the resume. She throws a little more and she's a little more active, but Norma Dumont could win this. This is just not really a bowl of spaghetti because I do think both females are very high level, but they're just so similar. I think goes to the decision is going to be -1,000. This is definitely going to the cards. Someone's going to win. It might even be a split decision win. That's a fun play. Go play that. But for the purpose of the show, we pick money lines. Give me Kyle Rosa. Next up, Hanayaya. That's his name. Cool. One of the cooler names. Doesn't get mentioned a lot. Hanayaya, +430 versus Montel Jackson, -560. Montel Jackson, obviously a great name because of Montel Jordan, right? This is how we do it. This is how we do it. It's Friday. I love that. When I used to unload, I've told this story before, but when I used to unload trailers at my job, old beefy boy was pretty good. And we would start in the morning. And, you know, there's a dock full of us, right? And I'd be the first one done. And every time I'm wheeling that belt back in, I'm singing, this is how we do it. You know, because I'm fucking smoked all of them, right? Toasted on, babe. Speaking of this fight, Ronnie, I got tricky on the ground. Montel Jackson's fight IQ was not the highest. I love Montel Jackson. I've been backing him since the Contender Series. He fought on the same show as Chris Curtis. And problem, Montel, he doesn't fight enough. And he's not getting finishes when he should be getting finishes. How does he not finish JP Bays? He's big for the division. He's a good grappler. His striking's good. I don't want him to be dumb in there and try to grapple with Ronnie Yaya. That's the only chance Yaya's got. I like Montel Jackson here. I like him big. Slime forever, of course. Yaya is slowing down, but he's crafty on that fucking ground. He's tough on the feet. You think you have him knocked out. He doesn't go away. I looked at his last fight. Let me see his last fight real quick here because the stats are actually impressive. Yeah, so he fought Kyunghyun Kang his last time out. Kyunghyun Kang outlanded him 43-27. Kyunghyun Kang dropped him, right? Well, at least once, but then Ronnie got three takedowns with one sub attempt, won a decision. I got to watch that fight back. Don't know how that happened. I saw his Ray Rodriguez fight. Ray Rodriguez, you know, two takedowns, one submission attempt, got him with the arm triangle. Before that, Simone unanimous decision and Enrique Bozzolo unanimous decision. Output's not there, and that's exactly the blueprint that Montel Jackson can take here is just keep him at distance, you know, keep that long range. You know, your boy's got little hands on him, right? Little hands on him. Keep him at range. Don't let him get close. Don't let him try to get a takedown. I don't think he can take Montel Jordan down on his fucking best day. Montel Jordan would just have to fall down for Yaya to get him down. And Montel can take him down when he wants. But don't. The floor is lava. Keep it up. Get a knockout. Easier said than done, but I like Montel Jordan. It is a little bit of a balloon line. I get it. I said Montel Jordan again. Fuck. I get it. But I think Montel Jackson is very good. So give me Montel Jackson. All right, next up. We got Ricky Glenn, -165 versus Khrushchev Jogos. This fight gave me a little bit of trouble, too. So when Ricky Glenn was on the World Series of Fighting, I thought he was pretty good. I was like, hey, this kid's got something, right? Got a little pop, got a little longness to him, got some submissions, right? You know, keeps his strikes long. And then UFC's kind of been up and down, right? He's tough, he's durable. But then Jogos comes in there, and he's looked like kind of like garbage last few times out, but he's just a fucking grinder, right? And I don't have anything written down. I thought maybe I filled this one out. I don't. So you know what we're going to do? I bought this thing forever ago thinking it was going to come in handy because I honestly am not going to bet this fight. This is a fucking lose all your money fight. I do not have a strong lean. I think Ricky Glenn is the better fighter. I think he has better strikes. I think his submissions are good. His chokes are good. But Jogos just has that fucking grinding mentality. He's been popping up on interviews all week saying, I'm back. I'm better than ever. Yada, yada, yada. And Jogos is a guy that my capping record's terrible. And I remember, I saw Glenn at the World Series of Fighting like, this guy's got something. And he came over to the UFC, and he definitely has something, but it's like, ugh, you know, whatever. So I'm going to use this pen. This pen is a prediction pen, right? If you can see that right there, I don't know if the camera's focused. Let me go back a little further, right? So it's a fortune teller pen. I asked it a question, I hit the button, right? So is Khrushchev Jogos going to win this weekend? There it is. And the answer is, if you're lucky. Okay? He is an underdog, so I don't like that. Let's go one more time. One more time. Is Ricky Glenn going to win this weekend? Click the pen. It's unclear. Ask again. Son of a bitch. The pen. The fucking pen is having trouble with this fight. What am I supposed to do? This is black magic. Right? This was cursed by some witch doctor, and it doesn't have the answers. How the fuck am I going to predict this? All right, last one. Is Khrushchev Jogos going to win this weekend? It's unclear. Ask again. Holy fucking shit. All right, this bit's getting way too long. Is Ricky Glenn going to win this weekend? Dude, no way. Khrushchev Jogos it is. Give me the dog, babe. Give me the dog. The pen decided it. That is a pen fight. You cannot put that against my record. But no, seriously, I was leaning Jogos just because he's got that grinding mentality. I think if he doesn't get finished, which he is tough to finish, you can submit him. Hard to knock out. I think he can win a decision here. So I'm not playing it no matter what. I won't do it. But yeah, give me the dog and Khrushchev Jogos. All right, next up, Jeremiah Wells versus Matt Sellensberger. Some guy in the Anakin Florian Twitter was he commented. And he said, hey, man. He said, this dude doesn't know how to pronounce names. Sometimes it's hard. Billy, you know, because John nicknamed me Billy. Sometimes this guy, you know, it's tough to listen to him try to pronounce names. What you trying to say, bro? You see my eyes right here? These are my serious eyes, bro. What do you mean? Did I call him Salesman Burger? Yeah, maybe I did. So what? I know it's Sellens Burger. I know he's from Frederick, Maryland. What's up, bro? I love this fight. This is a tough fight. So Wells is -110. Sullensberger's minus 110 as well. It's a pick'em fight. We picked us in the Anakin Florian. Kenny and I both run Sullensberger. I'm sticking with. I like Jeremiah Wells. The one big pause I had with Jeremiah Wells, 3-0 UFC. I've won all three bets with him in the UFC, which is great. But he's 36, right? Got to UFC a little bit late. And Sullensberger is this young, hungry dude who's been in there, has been more active. And he's been in there with some fucking tough dudes, right? I mean, Jake Matthews looked like a world beater against Andre Fuhl. Sullensberger goes in there and fucking just embarrasses him, right? Takes him down, hurts him as many times, knocks him down three times. Sullensberger is a big, big, powerful, strong dude and getting better, incredibly athletic. Yeah, so give me Sullensberger here again. Kenny and I are on the same wavelength, same break length. That's my guy. I'm ice cold, so I need him to carry us. I know it's a competition between us, but honestly, since we're giving out picks, right? Because the money between us is fake. It's fake money, right? I don't get any of that. Right? It's fake money, right? It's Monopoly money. Who gives a shit, right? Obviously, there's pride. I want to beat Ken Flo, but Ken Flo's one of the best in the game. I won last year, so I'm one up on him. Anyway, but now that we're partnering with DraftKings, we're giving out real bets. I want the real bets to win. So fade me, play me, whatever. Kenny's hot. I'm not. We're both on the same side. I like that. So give me Matt Sullensberger there. Probably by decision, Jeremiah Wells has proven to be pretty tough, pretty powerful. Knocked out Court McGee's last time out, which is not easy to do. Good on the ground. I just think Sullensberger's a little bit better. But sometimes he can get just a little bit behind, and he can't catch up in fights, and he loses those fights. Like the Chaos wins. You know, he had a great third round, but he just couldn't catch up. He's got to be active. He's got to come out fast, and I like Sullensberger here. All right, next up, Lasman Lucindo. I don't know where came from. Excuse me. Sorry, Christian. Lasman Lucindo versus Brogan Walker. Lucindo is minus 330 versus Walker plus 275. I don't think this line is high enough. You remember, your boy knows chicks, so give me Lucindo here. I like her. She dropped her debut, but an incredible fight against that stud girl from Mexico, Jasmine, I think her name's Jasmine. Stud girl from Mexico. I can't pronounce her last name. I'm not going to. Amazing fight. And then her fights before that, though, were just dog fights. She's good. She's really good. I took a hard look at her because, you know, I know chicks. And Brogan Walker just ain't it, right? Julianne Miller, she lost to Julianne Miller in the finale of The Ultimate Fighter. Julianne Miller just fought, looked not great. Brogan Walker, long, lengthy, doesn't really have a way to win. Wants to submit, yeah, I guess, but can't really. Likes to use her length, doesn't matter. If Lucindo comes in here, because sometimes female fighters, and this is why, this is female MMA, this is why it's either so frustrating or so great to bet on it. And I looked up the numbers. I don't have the stats in front of me. Excuse me. But sometimes these huge women favorites, a minus 330 isn't, that doesn't scare me off. So it's not huge. But they get this inflated sense of like, holy shit, I'm going to run through this girl. I'm leaps and bounds. Because women's MMA is still coming along. It's still getting better. There's still improvements. In 3 years from now, the women that are going to be on top are going to be better than the women are now. That's just the way it is, right? It's ever evolving, right? Just look how the men and women MMA is evolving bet faster than the men's MMA was. You look at the old MMA with the men's, like, you know, we're talking like back at UFC 10, UFC 15, all those slubs, right? I mean, whew. And women had a leg up for sure. But Brogan Walker's not good. And if Lucindo knows she's not good, she might come out there going, I'm going to fucking run through this girl. Might have a good first round. Halfway through the second round, go, oops, I took my Estella Nunes pills today. Fade, lose a weird decision. Hopefully that's not the case because I think Lucindo is an absolute dog. I think she wants to go in there and fight. And I like her big here. Bobby King Green, going to be King Green after this fight. Minus 250. Versus Jarrett Gordon, plus 210. I initially said on the Anakin Florian this line was wide. I still think it's wide, but my trio, Timbo and Christian, both said, no, this line ain't wide enough, bro, right? Jarrett Gordon should be a bigger underdog. I don't agree with that, but obviously those guys are sharp, so it is what it is. Jarrett Gordon, I just feel like, has this weird cloud, the Patty cloud, right? Did he win the fight? He didn't win the fight, but people think he did, so that's a good, like, it's like a good participation trophy. But I think that's looming over him. And King Green, do you see him? I saw him at the press conference before. He has a ring on every finger. So much gold or metal or platinum, excuse me, in his mouth. He's talking different. He's wearing suit up. The dude made a fucking milli plus on the Islam fight when he took that fight on short notice. This is a guy who's got 50 plus fights in the UFC, or excuse me, in MMA, maybe 40 plus. I don't know his exact record. And now he's finally a millionaire. Hard work pays off. And I feel like that maybe that millionaire cloud might be over Bobby Green. However, Bobby Green, his last two outs, besides the Islam fight, he's looked really dangerous with his hands. He hurt Drew Dober bad, but then he just got caught, right? He finished Ally Aquinta. He hurt Nasrat Haparaz in that fight. He probably beat Rafael Fiziev in a striking match. Like, this dude is slick with his hands. He gets pushed up against the cage, keeps his hands low. He comes up high, or comes up with an uppercut, you know, over the top with his strikes. And it was always a volume thing. I still think volume's his game, but he is starting to put some pop on these shots. Jared Gordon's been knocked out three times in his MMA career, I think three times in his UFC career. He's a grinder. He's going to press you forward. He's going to try to take you down. Bobby King Green does have some pretty good takedown defense and even better get up game. If he's motivated, right? If he's got the cardio, he's going to get up and he's going to make it hard for Jared Gordon. Jared Gordon's got to realize just takedowns alone is not winning you the fight. Paddy outstruck him, but Jared landed three takedowns. But what did he do with those takedowns? Nothing, right? I'm not saying he didn't win that fight. I'm saying is, just because you go for a takedown and lay on a guy and do little punches like this, and then the round ends, and you just got outstruck the whole time, you go back to your corner like, all right, I got that one. I got one takedown. This isn't 2004 anymore, bro, right? That's not how it works. You got to do something with that. And I think Jared Gordon is an okay boxer, not on the Bobby Green level, and I think his wrestling is severely overrated at times, but I do think his pressure is very good. His cardio is very good. Bobby Green, a millionaire now, multimillionaire, so maybe he's taking the foot off the gas, but he is training with the Diaz brothers, so I doubt it. I don't think you go to that gym taking foot off gas. No way. Give me Bobby King Green at minus 250 here. Christian and Timbo both said this is their mortal lock, so take that with you will. Again, not my mortal lock. I'll give that at the end, but this dude is fucking, you know what I mean? He's a little inconsistent for me to put him in mortal lock. That's what I'll say. He's a little too inconsistent for me to put him in a mortal lock. All right, next up. We got co-main event now. Brad Tavares, minus 155 versus Bruno Silva, plus 135. Don't know how Silva's a dog here. I know he's had dog shit performances last time against Jeremy Muscard. Brad Tavares is a tough veteran dude, but he got dropped about 15 billion times against Justice Duplessis, and Duplessis is not a big banger. I don't know how everyone in the world's not steaming Silva. They're getting two-way action. Silva, again, I think if he loses, he's gone. But I like Silva here. The power's there. His takedown defense is okay, but his jiu-jitsu is good. Brad Tavares doesn't go for a lot of takedowns. His takedown percentage is like 42%. He might mix it up, you know, because his chin is just maybe losing a little bit after getting hurt by Plessis, Justin Duplessis, with 8% oxygen, which is unheard of. So give me Silva. That's a slime candidate at a dog price there, baby. I'm just confident in that number. All right, main event, co-main event initially got moved. Ricky Simone versus Song Yadong, another cool name. That got moved to next week, which definitely needed a main event, and that's a sick fight. Can't wait for next week. And then main event here, big boys. We got Curtis Blaydes versus Sergey Pavlovich. Pavlovich plus 150, plus 145, and Blaydes is minus 170. Obviously, line subject to change. I got these yesterday. You know, things are moving here, babe. So before the Chris Dawkins fight, I picked Chris Dawkins over Curtis Blaydes. So I'm fighting Columbus. I'm a big guy, big head, big arms. I'm thick. I'm thick where everywhere, right? Hey, I'm thick everywhere, babe, right? Except my ankles. I actually have really pretty skinny ankles. Anyway, I was somehow sat right next to where all the fighters come out, right where they come out. I wanted a seat where there's just two seats for me and my wife, so I'm not squeezed in next to some fucking idiot, right? Who's getting up for a beer or whatever. The best seats ever. I mean, I love the floor seats in Vegas, but these seats were sick. So every fighter came out. And I just remember when they came out going, God damn, they're fucking small. And I'm sticking my chest out going, these guys are little, man. Right? Little boys. Dawkins walked right by me. I was like, that dude's small. I know he's lean right now for this, but he's small. And then Curtis Blaydes walks by me. This dude's a fucking mountain. Can't imagine what the polar bear Sergey Pavlovich looks like in person. I haven't seen him in person, but Curtis Blaydes is a big, big boy. Big, big boy. Athletic, his striking's coming along. But I said, I picked Dawkins. After that fight, I said, I'll never pick against Curtis Blaydes again. What happens? I picked Tommy Aspinall against them. Curtis Blaydes just goes out there and wins, right? This is the biggest, hardest fight in the card for sure. A lot of people are steaming Pavlovich because of the knockout power. And he's got a plus number. It's a heavyweight fight. I love that strategy. I love you for doing that. I initially was going to do that as well. Kenny took Pavlovich. I went Blaydes. That's just the game we play. But then I sat down. I really, really took an extra hard look at this fight. And it basically comes back to, I saw all, not all of Sergey, most of his fights outside the UFC. Fought a lot of Sambo guys. He fought a lot of Russian grapplers, and he handled himself very, very well. Knocked him out. His power is through the roof. But the Alistair Overeem fight, Alistair Overeem got a cheeky takedown, a bullshit takedown, and finished him on the ground. Curtis Blaydes, probably next to John Jones, has the best wrestling in the heavyweight division, right? Stats back that up for sure. And I know his past two fights, he's shown striking, which is drastically improved, but he uses that to set up his takedowns. You can't strike with this guy. You can't strike with Pavlovich, especially in the first round. All his last finishes, all from the first round, right? Some good competition too, not some scrubs. Some of the earlier wins were scrubs, but then he's starting to put together knocking out some real fucking dudes, right? So you get Curtis Blaydes, biggest problem is power punchers. There's a tale of two fights here. You got Pavlovich, biggest problem, in my opinion, a grappler who's going to take him down and pound his head off, you know, because Pavlovich is probably dog shit. I know he's working on it, but he probably hasn't fixed that many holes in his game to be that great off his back. Blaydes is heavy. He'll take you down, let you get up just to take you down again. But you look at his fight against Alistair Overeem, those shots, Overeem, that put Overeem out, were some of the vicious ground and pound shots I've ever seen. I need that Curtis Blaydes back, right? And he's not rushing to takedowns anymore, which is great because that's what got him caught in the Derrick Lewis fight. And even in the Ngannou fights, it's the only time he's lost is these huge power punchers. Enter Russian Ivan Drago. Enter modern day Ivan Drago. This dude is a fucking power punching machine, right? So the play is Blaydes. I like Blaydes money line. But I like, here's how you play this, boys. Here's how you play it, okay? Here's how you play it. Someone asked me, hey, can you do a video explaining your gambling, how you do it? I'm not a professional gambler, but I will make a video about 5-10 minutes long explaining different ways of how to approach gambling, because I understand there's a lot of people who reach out to me and go, hey, man, I love your content, but I don't understand the gambling stuff, which is a huge compliment, right? Anyway, Pavlovich round one knockout, you got to play that. You got to hammer that. It's going to be a plus number, maybe not as juicy as you want. You got to play that. I know people are playing him money line. I understand it. But after that first round, it's all Blaydes City. It's Blaydes City. Blaydes starts getting his takedowns going. I see Blaydes finishing within five. That's my take on it. I see Blaydes finishing him within five as long as he shows up and gets his takedown. So pick is Blaydes. Pavlovich, round one knockout is a juice prop. Juicy. All right, here we go. So you got my green hammer. Tafa Usman does not go the distance. And Tafa by knockout. Mortal lock. Lasmin Lucindo, because I know chicks. I really like her. Then we got dog lock Bruno Silva. Again, don't know how he's dog money. Crazy. And then send him home, Curtis Blaydes. Blaydes. I think he's going to use those elbows like razor blades. And then, you know, he did say he's going to sit out for a title shot. You know. All right, let me read you a bedtime story. No, this is my... This is my slime time. Slime ball parlay is dreadful. I miscalculated. I said we were 2-1 something. I redid the math. Excuse me. Still not great. We're 5-2 on the green hammer and 3-9 on the slime ball this year. Piss poor, but we're going to win it this week. We're going to fucking win it this week, bitch. All right. Slime leg one. Montel Jackson could have been a mortal lock. Little high. Passed on it. Lasmin Lucindo. My mortal lock. Great, gorgeous number. And then Bruno Silva. Believe it or not. Now... that's plus 260. Now, I know what you're saying. Hey, Brian, why wouldn't you add Bobby Green? You could. Why don't you add all these other people? You could. This is just a baseline. You create your own slime ball parlay, but that's mine. Montel Jackson, Lasmin Lucindo, Bruno Silva, plus 260. And if you want to add a little a la mode, a little crisp, little ice cream, I'm going to say Christmas for some reason, a little ice cream on top of your pie, huh? Four-leg slime ball parlay, a la mode, Francis Marshall, that's plus 436. That's it. Slime ball book. All right. That's it. That's the show. Again, thank you for all the nice comments and making a guy really feel special. I keep my circle small. I definitely don't have nearly as many friends as I used to. My family's everything. I got my work associates that I call them. They get offended. No, I got my work bros. Got three guys at work who are my good friends. And I got really close friends, but I keep my circle small. And my family's very small, and it's getting smaller, which is crazy. So you guys are my extended family. I really appreciate just the messages and overwhelming kindness and support for me and really kind words. I read them all, and it was very overwhelming. I really appreciate that, guys. I mean, I truly, truly do. That does not go unnoticed. And Yeah, man, it helped a lot for what I was going through, because again, I was just it was fighting with myself of trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, and we're on the other side of this. I'm feeling good, and a lot of that has to do with you guys. So thank you so much. And I know a lot of people are like, you know, there's some people who don't like me bringing this up. This is me, 100% authentic me. I talk about everything in my life. I can't just skim over things. I can't just ignore it. I pulling it out the goddamn giant pimple on my head, okay? I got to talk about things. If you have cappers who don't maybe dive too much in their personal life, that's their style. This is my style. I know no other way besides to be myself, right? And that's just 100% me. And I think a lot of people like that. Some people might not like it, but either way, the messages are great. Follow me, Brian Petrie MMA on Instagram and Twitter. Hit that fucking subscribe button, baby. We're almost at 1,300. Almost at 13,000. Could you imagine? Club 1K. We're about to get Club 2K shirts. About 700 off. So tell 700 of your closest friends. Thank you for the support. Thank you for everything. Let's win some money this weekend for a change. Because I'm ice. I'm fucking Elsa over here, babe. Elsa.
With our man Brian Petrie. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Next with our man Brian Petrie.